the Nutramedical Report, and we're joined by Ann Morrison, our brilliant scientist who does Twiland.info every weekend. And you changed the format somewhat to concentrate on specific topics, which I think is really well. What we've done is we've translated those from our live stream channel. We do a recap in the afternoon, and we put it up on our Vimeo channel, which we get great stats on. And it's amazing how many people are watching these videos and understanding these issues of what's going on. So what topic are we covering today?
Well, thank you, Dr. Bill. And I do try to make it simple. You know, some of these things are very technical, and when you read the technical journals, you don't get a good idea about what's going on. So I try to common sense out of what's going on.
Yeah, you're a good teacher because you take complex issues and try to make it understandable, but you also bring up points that the common media and even the scientific community don't address, which is pretty serious.
Well, that's probably because I don't have anybody writing me a paycheck.
You can't blame them. You're not on a financial choke chain, in other words.
Choke chain, yeah, that's good. Okay, I want to talk. We've talked about the Malheur Wilderness area in southeastern Oregon, in Malheur County, Oregon. It's the largest county in Oregon. And I just want to revisit it and bring people up to date on what's going on there. We had a standoff. And which resulted in one man being killed and a dozen others being jailed. So I'm calling this Malheur Wilderness Area, BLM versus cattle, and the U.S. versus Russia. And so, well, you say, what does Russia have to do with a big county in at the edge of Oregon?
Right.
Well, we all know where it is now because of the notoriety of the standoff between the Bundy Militia and the Oregon State Police. And it was the Oregon State Police that became lackeys for the officers of the Bureau of Land Management in the Fish and Wildlife Service. A confrontation between the BLM and the ranchers ended in the death of one man and the persecution of a dozen others early this year. And even though the BLM has no authority to designate land as federal without due process, and if you look at the due process, they have to designate public land as the minimum amount of land that they would need in order to reach whatever they think they want to go to. For instance, like a road, they can't just annex huge parcels of property and say, this is a road. Well, yeah, it's a landing strip for something.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have, I haven't seen any due process either here or in Texas where the BLM has just taken large tracts of land. But it so it continues to carve out wilderness areas out of private holdings, and the reason they want to do that is because then the BLM can sell mineral rights. They can give mineral rights to people, and they get the income.
Right. One of the largest areas of uranium in the United States, and there are several areas up in the mountains of Colorado, and this area of Oregon is one of the richest uranium areas on the planet.
Yes, in fact, they were mining it for mercury, in the 60s, so that's almost 50 years ago. All right, so the BLM has used the excuses of out-of-control fires and cattle roaming into public lands to harass the landowners, and for the most part in Oregon, the governor of Oregon has just let them do that and has actually labeled the protesters as terrorists, which is completely wrong.
Well, they know the difference, and they want to use the label because it kicks into domestic security bills that lumps it with people like Al-Qaeda, which I think is an obscenity to call people that are trying to protect the rights of ranchers that have been doing it for a century. And to be honest with you, the BLM should not exist. If you look at the legal precedent of state rights, The governor of Oregon should have actually kicked out the BLM completely. They should take control of the land, and they should be the ones making deals with the ranchers if there's any financial transactions to occur for being on that land or using it. What happened is the BLM set a fire that backfired and went into the lands for the people that they were going to jail there, and they actually had to put a fire to prevent it from actually coming in and destroying their cattle in their home. And they then charged them. They later decided to change the charges on them. And then they said, no, we don't want to do that. We want to actually kick them off the land. So the BLM basically are an aggressive federal agency that's reaching farther than its legal or constitutional rights. And this is going to become a Donnybrook. I don't think that the fact that they jailed a dozen people and killed one, it's going to stop. In fact, I think if you see any attempt by either Obama to do that this year, or if Hillary gets in, which is unlikely, but if she tried to start taking away Second Amendment rights, it will be a civil war immediately. It's not going to take a long time. It's going to happen real fast.
All right. Well, the southeastern corner of Malheur County has been used for mining mercury since 1960, and it's in the cleanup phase now because mercury has leached into the aquifers that supply the drinking water wells.
Whoa.
Yes. And the Aurora project was designed to build an open-air uranium ore production facility. Now, we're talking about open-air uranium ore production facility. And, of course, such a project would not be considered a good neighbor by private landowners who have been poisoned by mercury in their water.
Right.
And in addition, environmentalists want to put the sage grouse on the endangered species
list. Yeah, and you got a good map here, which will, when we do our recap after the show, people can see this map.
Yeah,
of course, that's another scheme that they use for the BLM to say they're going to protect a particular organism so that they can grab more land and then sell off mineral rights, right?
Yes. And as it turns out, when the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State in the first Obama administration, she wasn't the only one. I mean, all the agencies had to sign off on this. But they signed, the administration signed a deal with President Putin to allow Russia to buy a Canadian uranium company and control the production of one-fifth of the uranium mined in the United States.
And
that was no.
Oh, no. So we're making the nuclear material for the Satan II rocket that might hit us in 2025 if we don't have a good relationship, as John Donald says, with Russia.
That's right.
Oh, gee.
There were concurrent transfers of monies to the Clinton Foundation. Although southeastern Oregon has many mineral deposits, in 2011, interest for the development of a uranium mine next to the abandoned mercury mine was proposed after this agreement with the Russians was negotiated. And this was called the Aurora Project. Now, it was put on hold in 2014, 3 years later, because of the need to establish whether the sage-grouse habitat was endangered. And in 2015, 3 years after that, the sage-grouse habitat was determined not to be endangered. So who won? How do you make mining uranium in Malheur County seem beneficial after the debacle of mercury and groundwater from a previous mining operation?
Right.
Just next door. In February 2015, Uranium Standard acquired the Aurora Uranium Project, and it is listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. And as far as I know, that brings you up to date.
Wow.
We can go over what a uranium mill chemistry looks like. But you get, essentially, you get things that get leached out that are not beneficial to people. And not only that, they're using sulfuric acid, as a leachate, and it also strips other heavy metals from the rock and into the groundwater.
Wow. I know that happened with a sportsman mine up in Colorado, because I was doing the occupational assessment of the mine, and the sportsman mine, which you got another deposit, and this is in Colorado, was leaching down into the Grand Lake Reservoir system, and it was concentrating in Lake Stanley. And the one gentleman had actually a filtration system in his basement because he was suspicious that the water might be radioactive coming off the sportsman mine. So he put 120 pounds plus of charcoal, and they, as I mentioned in the last show with John Moore in the first hour, they scan every city in the world with space-based satellite systems to pick up potential isotopes up to 400 plus meters below the ground. And they sent in a SWAT team to hit him because they thought he was building a bomb in his basement, and it turned out he was actually filtering the water from Stanley Lake. So this is this is like a long time ago. This is 20 years ago in the late 90s where this happened. So people need to be aware that they're watching you, and they do see nuclear isotopes on and under the ground. And if you even filter the toxins out and concentrate it in charcoal, they're going to see it from space and then run an aircraft over your, or helicopter over your city, like they do in every city in the Western world. And they're going to see isotopes and think, if they see a blip on the screen, they figure you're building a bomb. Crazy, eh?
That is just unbelievable.
Yeah, they pinned them to the ground, injured them, like they usually beat them up, hauled them off, zip-tied. And then, of course, when they go down to the basement, found this guy just had a water filter system, and they found no evidence. The charges were all dropped, but, of course, they injured him, pretty significantly, just trying to arrest him. And it wasn't like he was resisting. So it's an example of the crazy world we have now.
Yeah. Anyway, what is going to it's going to mine the uranium ore, and then it's going to crush it and grind it up and eventually produce what's called yellow cake. And that's normally what's sold on the open market.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to catch people up on what was happening in southeastern Oregon.
Now, you have some other issues here about carbon dioxide and protein and foods.
This was very interesting. I don't know if you had heard of the fertilizer effect, but we know that when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, the carbon dioxide levels were just as high as they are now.
Or higher.
I guess they were higher.
Yeah.
And so that made plants grow really well.
Right.
And so people were saying, well, when the carbon dioxide gets higher, we're going to have really tall plants. It's called the fertilizer effect. And we think that what happens is that the carbon dioxide will enable the plants to grow. Well, it does. They did a study, a real study, and they were looking at goldenrod because it's a late fall food source for bees. I don't know if you know what goldenrod is.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And I hadn't planted some. There was some on the property when I moved in here 20 years ago, and I thought it was pretty, and my neighbors would harass me and tell me that it was ragweed and I should get rid of it, but it wasn't ragweed, it was goldenrod. I knew the difference.
Right.
And it provides a nice bright yellow color around your home, and I like it in the fall.
Right.
Anyway, so they did a study, and what they were trying to determine was whether the bees were getting enough nutrition to carry over the winter. And they thought with the increased carbon dioxide, the plants would grow. The thought was that plants would grow bigger, and then the bees would have even more food.
Right.
And unfortunately, what happened was, the plants grew bigger, but the significant ions and proteins that are essential for bee health and human health diminish.
Yeah, you know the reason why that is? In all life forms, the mineral content is what triggers the genes to create structural and enzymatic proteins. And when you push plants, and the best way to push them is to use our MG12 oil in your greenhouse. And if you have a hyperbaric greenhouse with 1,000 parts per million of carbon dioxide, you get gigantism of plants. So without the minerals, you actually decrease the levels of the BRIC score, which is a sugar content based on fluorized light, and you decrease the protein and the flavorful vitamins and nutraceutical molecules that actually make the plant taste good. So you're absolutely correct. And the danger is that if you kill the soiling-fixing bacteria and you drive up CO2, you actually decrease the nutrient value of the food.
Yes. And they've already, there was another study that was done, and they found that there was in wheat and in rice and in other grain crops, the same thing was happening. In fact, right. in the third world nations, iron is just not in the rice. They have a real problem getting enough zinc and iron and these other.
Why do you think the population is turning diabetic? How many diabetics do you think they have in China right now? 1.3 billion people.
I don't know.
100 million diabetics in China right now.
That's all? That's good.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like 1/13 of their population of all ages, young and old. That's a lot. Here in America, they did a study, that's in their standards. By the way, the standard that UCLA done published a month ago, 69% of adults over 30 are pre-diabetic or diabetic by the approved standards of diagnostics now. That's because of mineral deficiency in the soils. That mineral deficiency causes stress on the macrophages that produce leukotriene B4. The research at UCSD, California, San Diego, published last February, proved that's the primary trigger. So what happens is you get free radical illness caused by mineral deficiency from the soil of depleted nutrients in the soil and food, and it triggers off free radical surges that cause insulin and leptin resistance. So diabetes is caused by mineral deficiencies that allow us to not tolerate free radicals, and that causes insulin resistance and results in diabetes and all the complications of it. So we're basically killing ourselves with killing the soil.
Here in where we grow our food, they put those minerals back in. I mean,
they don't put all of them in, and that's why we talked about the MG12 products, because there's 14 trace minerals that are necessary for many enzymes in the plant and in people that were in the ancient oceans when life first formed on Earth, and they are in MG12, which is Dead Sea minerals. There are 14 minerals that are not present in the oceans. And if you put those in the soil, for example, when I spray a diluted version of it on my rose bushes, because I have 84 rose bushes, they all bloom the next day. If you put it in your plants, they're going to become not only gigantic, but they're going to have amazing color, taste, and nutrient value. So the big problem we have is that there's not just the regular minerals like magnesium and the other ones are standard fertilizers.
Yeah.
They're incomplete.
Yeah.
And the incompleteness means that you do a test called a BRIC score with a mortar and pestle and then put it under a polarizing light microscope. You'll find that the light is not turned because the sugar content is directly related to the vitamin content and the flavor and the color. And we're basically making what I call very wimpy foods because there's no minerals, and we use things to kill the fixing bacteria. So the minerals aren't in the soil. There's no selenium, chromium, vanadium, zinc. Most of the trace minerals are necessary for a robust life, and epigenetics are not present in our food anymore. Interesting.
Wow. Well, that's pretty darn scary.
Yeah, and you can measure it, too. That's why we do a test like the QRMA, quantitative resonant magnetic, because it picks up the biophoton signature of the minerals you need for your enzymes and your health. And so diabetes is primarily a deficiency of selenium, chromium, and vanadium, and zinc and copper. And when those minerals are low, you're going to develop diabetes.
Hmm.
Interesting, eh?
Well, I think that we need to put that on the shelves at the garden center.
Yeah, well, actually, they can get our MG12 just going through our link. They can take a bottle, and you don't need much. A few sprays and a gallon is all you need to remineralize your water supply for your plants. And once you put a few minerals in there, the plants go crazy. So,
all right. Well, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Bill.
Yeah, that's really easy, really cheap, too. I mean, you can get a bottle of magnesium, a 16-ounce bottle that'll last you a whole summer for all your plants and the whole garden. You don't need much. A few drops here and there is plenty. Amazing. So
we are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Here's your chance to own land in our great nation for as little as $350 down and $99 a month. At the end of a year, you own it. This is your chance to own a piece of New Mexico in the foothills of a beautiful mountain range that's a national park. Yet a short drive to town, a perfect place to camp or own as an emergency retreat for your family for generations. $350 down, $99 a month. Go to landho.tv now. Similar sized parcels in the same development have sold for up to $15,000, some even more. Folks, we bought this land right and can pass the savings on to you. Purchase online via PayPal at landho.tv. Other listeners have already visited and purchased from our website, so we know there's a keen interest. Don't let this be a missed opportunity for you. Land that's yours in less than a year for an incredible $350 down and $99 a month. Inventory is getting seriously scarce, so visit our website today. Land in sunny New Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV.
Poor water quality is a major health issue, and it's only getting worse. Municipalities can't keep up, standards have dropped, and pollutants are increasing. Where does it all end? It ends by keeping the pollutants outside of your home with HydroCare's advanced systems available at Wave Home Solutions. No less than the best purification materials and processes have been developed by HydroCare to provide you with healthy, clean water for drinking, cooking, and showering. HydroCare far surpasses the competition in removing chlorine, odors, iron, lead, chemicals, limescale, and much more. Don't settle for less when it comes to your water. We'll take care of the toughest water problems for you, whether it's from a city or well source. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-997-WAVE. That's 888-997-WAVE. Or go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
So, Ann, the solution to the food shortage would be real simple. Number one, we should be using Indiamies and Maine MG12 at low, small concentrations in all our food supply. If you want to grow a lot of food, the best way to grow it is a hyperbaric greenhouse. And I'm working with Bruce McKeeman to actually develop the specs on that. If you could generate a 1.3 atmosphere greenhouse with 1,000 parts per million and augment the mineral content in the soil, because that's all you need. People say, well, what makes the plant substance? The plant substance is made 100% from the trace minerals in the soil and the carbon dioxide that the plant absorbs. That's it. Everything else is not relevant. And the water that you water it with, so that all the structural proteins and so on are made with the minerals and the carbon dioxide in the air. And the problem is, you see, that a lot of people try to make it much more complex than that. We could supply with hyperbaric air greenhouses most of the food with something simple as a 4x6 window box. They could grow food at enormous velocities that would have much higher food content. And you can take one of these smaller PET hyperbaric chambers that you can get from Bruce McKeeman at Summit to Sea, and you can turn it into a hyperbaric greenhouse. So we've got lots of little called prepper techniques. You could have it on the side of an RV even, and that RV would grow enough fresh fruit and vegetables. You'd have a continuous supply without a giant greenhouse. Interesting, eh?
Well, I know that they're doing something very similar in high-rise buildings, and they're using LED lights to supply the energy.
Yeah, have to have the right spectrum to hit the harmonic frequency of the minerals, and the LEDs will work, but the most important thing is the hyperbarics, because of Henry's law. It dissolves the carbon dioxide in the substance of the plant, and it grows much faster. But like you said, if you push the CO2 to make the plant grow faster and doesn't have the minerals, the protein and vitamin content drops. It doesn't go up. Yeah, you push it, and you actually create, you know, valueless food. And that's the reason why we're getting more and more sickly, plus a lot of the animals are getting sickly as well. I call it the four reasons for the bee apocalypse. The first one is what I call the neonicotinoid pesticides that are used that are damaging the brain and nervous system. The second is the use of Bacillus thuringiensis, laced genetically modified food that kills not only the monarch butterflies, but it causes Beeheimer's disease. The third reason is scalar upset of the bee's navigation system, because the bee can see what's called torsion fields. So it actually looks at the geoarchitecture of the torsion fields of the Earth's magnetic field, and it navigates between that and the position of the sun to find its beehive. And then the fourth reason is just fatigue, because we transport them all across the country and expose them to automobile exhaust and trimethyl and hydrides, formaldehyde, and other nasty things in the atmosphere like nitric oxide. And the bees are stressed, toxic, and burnt out. And so we wonder why the bees are having colony collapse. Well, the same things are happening to humans. And Einstein made the statement that 4 years after the bees disappear, of course, all you'll have left is gruel, because all the foods that taste good require bees and pollinating insects, you'll see the end of the human race. And people think, well, that can't be far. That could be far away. No, it isn't. I see the human race is incapable of reproduction in one generation. I see most of the sexual differentiation between male and female as dropping dramatically, which is why they're now pushing the LGBT agenda. It's not just a social agenda, it's a toxicological agenda, because when you have lots of endocrine disruptors, eventually you can't differentiate into male and female. That's happening as we speak. And people need to understand this is a very real problem. It's not just a social issue that's being pushed by Hollywood. I call it Hollywood. And the globalist maniacs that want a drone class of sexless workers. It's something that's toxicologically happening. It's happening to all our animal species on the planet, including the great whales, and even the alligators and farms in South Florida. So, you know, people need to grasp this, need to connect all the dots, and that's what our purpose here is, to connect the dots in a way that people should understand isn't really, doesn't have wiggle room for an alternative argument. How's that?
Well, I remember when androgyny was first discussed, and that was about 40 years ago, and they were seeing the effects back then, and they've just gotten worse and worse.
Well, all biotoxins are female receptor binding. There is no biotoxin that's male hormone receptor binding except for one, and that is steroid effects of pollution from working around oil and gas plants. And these have steroidal effects that have male-like patterns. So you'll see all these oil workers buffed up with giant muscles. And it's because the biotoxins that it absorbs through their body actually turns into steroids that steroids them up. They're roided with the toxins from the oil industry.
Yeah, their livers do that.
Yeah, crazy, eh? Mm-hmm. All of the toxins are endocrine disruptors, halides, fluoride, chloride, and bromide, including fluorinated water. Feminize. All of them feminize every species of animal and insect.
Hmm.
Crazy, eh?
Yep.
Back in a moment.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Friends, you've heard our commercial talking about land in New Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month, and we really appreciate your response. But land parcels are getting scarce. Current prices are already going up, and the commercial message you're hearing now could be pulled at any time. So you should act quickly. Our company acquired this development at a great price, and we're able to sell parcels to you at an unheard of $350 down and $99 a month. And at the end of only 1 year, you own it. Purchase via PayPal at landho.tv, LANDHO.TV. And this isn't a swampland deal, folks. This is your chance to own a piece of our great nation in the foothills of a beautiful mountain range. A perfect place to camp anytime or have as an emergency retreat for your family for generations to come. And at $350 down and only $99 a month, it's a no-brainer. Land as a gift or a hedge against economic disaster. Visit landho.tv, LANDHO.TV right now.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
And welcome back. And then our scientist, and again, the website is twiland.info. And I think our friend Jim Guercy is converting it to a blog, like a very small fee per month to get the blog information. The kind of information you put together, Ann, is very remarkably good, very high quality, very well referenced, and it's the kind of information you're not going to find either in quote, journals, nature journals, biosecurity journals, etc., or in the public media, radio, television, or other sources like magazines. You're able to convert the more technical down to more common sense and show some of the things that are anomalous, like the vaccines are actually part of the process that actually created some of the viral evolution of new super strains of pathogenic influenza, for example. And that's the next topic you can cover now. We have some nice pictures you've produced on your blog. Can you explain this latest thesis and what's going on?
Well, I can attempt it. We've talked about reassortment, and now we have a potential pandemic that came from a reassortment of something that most people in most countries don't even require reporting of.
Right.
And that was the H6N6, low pathogenic flu, bird flu, avian influenza.
Right.
And in China, they were tracking it, the H6N6, because they even though it was a low pathogenic bird flu and it didn't affect humans, they were just tracking it because they wanted to know where it came from and where it was going.
Right, and the Chinese are smart enough to know that some of these transition from the bird population to human when they become a specific recombinant that has enough of what's called a receptor binding domain, and there's 5 genes that are involved in that. If you get more than 3 genes, you start to transition to being a human infection, not just a bird infection.
And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
So in 2013, they first saw the H6N6, and we know about H5N1. H5N1 is killing people in Egypt and in the Middle East. It's spreading out now from Egypt and going up into Eurasia. And it's deadly to humans. It's like 30% fatal. Normally, it's the children. Well, it's whoever's taking care of the chickens get it, and then they die. Or 30% of them die. And I don't. They haven't talked about subsequent illnesses with it. Okay, so there was a reassortment among the bird's population between probably a chicken or a duck. The duck probably had the H5N1, and the H6N6 was probably held in a chicken someplace, and they discovered that there was a reassortment. So the H6N6 came out of that reassortment, as did the H5N6, the H5N6 twice, and the H9N2. So we still got the low pathogenic H6N6, and it then recombined. The H5N6 then was found in humans, and this H5N6. Now, so it took the H5 from the H5N1, and it took the N6 from the H6N6. And there's a nice graphic that'll be on the live stream that shows you exactly what happened there.
Right.
And the H5N6 then infected humans. Well, this was the first time that H6N6 had been associated with anything that affected humans. And so this was the people came into the hospital, they took their blood, and they tried to figure out what was wrong with them, and sure enough, it was H5N6. And they said, we don't know where H5N6 came from.
Well, if they had a supercomputer model of it, which could be easily programmed by a nonlinear programmer, I did that in the past, you could actually predictably determine that if you're using vaccines like they have in China or antiviral drugs in their giant chicken farms that have, you know, 500,000 chickens, you can expect as a guaranteed probability now the release of the OXY513A gene, which increases oxidative free radical stress, also increases the rate of evolution of both RNA and DNA viruses. So we can guarantee it that the overuse of drugs and or vaccines and the use of release of what we call Frankengenes into the population is going to make the virus mutate and become more pathogenic more quickly.
Okay. And they discovered then that was in 2014. In 2015, they discovered there were some more human cases, but they weren't the same. They were let me put it this way. They were the H5N6, but they were a different H5N6. They were a combination of the H5N6 with the H9N2, and that was what caused the reassortment to a tri-level. And so we had more people who were getting infected, and in fact, they think, looking at the reassortment of the genes, is that the H5N6 is has a pandemic potential for humans.
Right. Now, remember, the H9N2 has been endemic to the Middle East for many, many years. and also to Asia. So now they're getting a new version of this H5N6 that now has more receptor binding genes, and it has a pathogenic genes that affect chickens. And remember, what's happening is a lot of these chickens, the bird droppings from ducks, etc., they're migrating, are dropping into the chicken farms, and that's how they're getting recombinations, because the virus can exist for days or weeks simply in the chicken yards.
Yeah, biosecurity in the United States says that you got to raise your chickens under a roof. You can no longer raise your chickens out in the field because there's just too many things that can...
Yeah, they can have a carport-type roof, so they clean on roof offs to make sure the droppings don't get into the food supply. But the problem is they shouldn't have them. If they are out in the open, they have to have a roof above them, is what you're saying.
Yes, and in addition, they haven't been reporting on the LP, on the low pathogenic avian influenza. Now, low pathogenic only means as far as the birds go. It has nothing to do with humans, whether it's fatal to humans or not.
Right.
They're more interested in the food than the person that's consuming it. But they're suggesting that all avian influenza needs to be reportable so that we can be aware of when something like this breaks through. This broke through in only 3 years. So this happened very, very fast.
Now, Dr. Henry L. Nyman at recombinomics.com reviews a lot of these things because his recombination theory of viral evolution is very accurate, and it's the most logical model to explain the kind of leaps forward in terms of these pathogens. So if they took the recombinomics model of Dr. Nyman and used a supercomputer and proper reporting of these avian cases, we could predict when you get a pandemic version that's a recombinant from these birds and human flu that would cause another pandemic to kill a lot of people.
Well, that's what pandemic means. Maybe I should have explained that a little closer. Yeah, if you have like an outbreak, that's usually just in one state. If you have an epidemic, that would be like more than one state is affected. When you have a pandemic, it means it goes outside your country. The world is infected. And they're saying this has pandemic potential. Now, you have to understand that they renamed all the avian influenzas, and they either put a EA in front of it for Eurasian, or they put a... AM for the Americas. And that's because when we talk about, for instance, H5N1, that H5N1 is different than the H5N1 that we see over here in the Americas. And the nomenclature now is so... I mean, this thing has gotten very confusing because they started mixing the attenuated live vaccines with the attenuated live viruses, and so people became mixing vessels.
They became walking bioweapon laboratories is what happens. And that's why also when we said the OXY513A gene, they've weaponized the hosts and the vectors of organisms out in the wild to the new gene changes, which increase the free radical oxidative stress. So now it's like you said, Ann, that we have a situation where they have confused the whole situation of whether or not this virus occurs spontaneously, or it's because we created a vaccine that actually has attenuated virus that can recombine in a person and make a new version right there on the spot.
Yeah, and who is that in Georgia that has been studying that? You said there was a doctor, somebody who...
Dr. Maewon Ho. He presented this in 2001 and then 2014 that the oxygen, these frankengenes could actually, double-strand DNA could jump into other insects and plants, and it has. For this Ballworth moth to try to get rid of the moth who's destroying the cotton crop. And they plan on re-releasing these type of Franken mosquitoes in South Florida. So what it happens is you now have a gene plague that amplifies the oxidative stress and pushes the evolution of the viruses faster. So you get lots of reasons to push the virus. If you vaccinate the population or animals like birds, and or use toxic antiviral drugs that cause the than to be bioselective for genetic organisms that are resistant to the drug, you're now going to actually push the evolution to more pathogenic strains. So people, we need to be aware of that, that sometimes the medicine things we do that we think are helpful will actually speed the development of super pathogens that are going to cause a pandemic.
And as long as we're talking about that, I want to again remind people that the yellow fever vaccine is an attenuated live virus vaccine, and they would give you the vaccines, especially the military, give it to all their troops. And they, you know, they said, well, you might be sick for a few days, and sure enough, people came down with a flu-like syndrome, and then the you know, and that was the end of it. Well, now they're going back and looking at those people, and some of them have died from meningitis, from encephalitis, from other things that are directly related to that attenuated live virus that was in that vaccine. And they're also now creating an attenuated live virus for dengue. There's four different strains of dengue, and they're coming up with four different attenuated live virus vaccines for that, and we suspect that they're going to do the same thing for Zika. Now, you do not want to get a attenuated live virus vaccine. Now, they probably won't give it to people over 50, and they probably won't give it to people under 20, but those people in the, you know, our breadwinners, the people that are the most productive, they're going to give it to them for sure.
Yeah, I think that the whole approach to using vaccines is wrongheaded. Firstly, with RNA viruses, you proved before a few weeks ago that vaccines don't work. Secondly, we need to make a system where the immune system can pick up on the presence of the pathogen and kill it with singlet oxygen, which is to create clones of T lymphocytes that actually recognize the pathogen and kill it with superoxide anion radical. We have a situation where some of the things we're doing, including the use of oseltamivir, they're now trying to say they're going to release it openly to the public to buy over the shelf too, which is Tamiflu.
Oh, that'd be great.
And the problem with oseltamivir, though, and this is like anything, would it develop just like the release of the other antiviral drugs they use in the chicken farms in China? What they discovered over 3 or 4 years is that it sped the evolution of the virus to become resistant, and now you're developing super strains. So it's my guess that you're going to end up with some emergence of super strains of now virus that's going to be oseltamivir resistant. So you may blow it. Now, the same thing's happened with antibiotics. So the big pharma drug industry now has said, uncle, we can't produce a drug to stop you from sepsis now in the intensive care unit. Now, we have nutraceuticals that will. Our Silver 100 or Allicin Med, and most importantly, our Nutridyne, which is the only Tesla-activated monoatomic plasmaform superconductor iodine in the world. These things will kill all pathogens that go through biofilm. The problem is that the regular medical profession basically doesn't have anything if you've got an enterococci that's methicillin resistant or a gram negative or a fungal septicemia. Most people don't realize that when you die in the burn unit or trauma unit, it's not just a gram negative septicemia. Most commonly, it's actually a fungal, most likely a candida or a candida like fungal infection. And there's different strains of candida, they have different genetics. There can Candida albicans, glabrata, and tropicalis, and some of these strains produce aldehydes that cause brain damage and cardiac arrest and can cause total immune system failure. And people aren't aware that most people don't die of gram-negative septicemia, they die of fungal septicemia. Interesting, eh? I did the original research on that back in the late 70s at the Calgary General Intensive Care Unit, and I pulled up all the literature in the world and realized, oh my God, when we did cultures on these people's blood, they found out it wasn't gram-negative, it was fungal. Interesting, eh?
Yeah, people have been known, this is called a fungal bloom. You'll have a fungus that you get into your lungs, and then one day it blooms. It just, like, triple...
Explodes.
Yeah,
and you can embolize the block off arteries in your brain and your heart, and you can have a heart, cardiac arrest or a stroke caused by fungal plugs that end up in your arteries. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and if you don't have an autopsy, they never find it. And so
doctors don't ask questions. One of the things I found in medical school and residency, and I kept on asking questions to my residency trainers or my so-called professors in medical school, and I made them squirm a lot. I'd ask them tough questions, and that's why I've changed the term. I don't ask questions, I-A-X-E, ask questions. And well, I like to embarrass myself as well as anybody else, because people say, how do you learn more? I said, because I asked enough questions, the previously held beliefs are gone now, and they're replaced by ever-advancing analyses that are more directly related to data and a proper thesis that explains it in terms of inductive and deductive logic and the actual increasing evidence. The problem is the medical system is not designed like that, to be a nonlinear system of seeking the truth, and as a result, they don't find a solution.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they're all taught to go by the code book, the protocol book. Whatever the protocol says, you do it.
I learned a lesson a long time ago. I'm writing a little book on how to train your brain, actual brain exercises, and there's some real cute ones you can do with kids to teach them how to do what's called parsing concepts into subconcepts, and there's some games you can do. Most people don't realize you can train people within minutes to be smarter. And to start understanding how they break concepts up, and you can only learn by something associated with what you already did. But the problem is that people are what we call diseducated, distrained, and dislogicked to the point where they actually can't, they all they can do is play with their mental blocks.
All right.
You like that? They can play with their mental blocks in the corner. Colored blocks.
Yeah.
Crazy, eh? Back in a minute.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Welcome back. So, Ann, let's summarize on what we've talked about today. And we're going to do a recap of the show with these nice pictures afterwards. This science is not really peripheral. People need to understand when you have a mine in South Oregon, that I'm looking at this picture of this Lucky Lass and White King uranium mines outside Lakeview, Oregon. This is scary looking. You see these little tractors going around a giant hole in the ground and these pristine trees and in the background. I'm thinking, oh my God, do they understand the mercury and aluminum salts and so on getting into the aquifers, etc.? Do they understand the airborne dust? It's going to end up, and if it, you know, gets into a drainage of a water supply or a reservoir of even a distant city, it could actually cause some fairly toxic and nasty effects. We saw this with the Schwarzman mine. We also saw Superfund sites. I took care of the Superfund site right on the river going through Littleton, Colorado, and they had this giant Superfund site, and they weren't properly monitoring at all. We did some studies on the airborne particulates. And the groundwater literally going right into the Superfund site was right by the river that went through Aurora. And there was no protection whatsoever to stop the Superfund site from getting toxic radioisotopes into the water supply. And, of course, when my boss realized, like, Deagle, you're asking too many tough questions, this is going to cause trouble, guess what I did? I asked more questions. And you can see you understand the consequence of that. And people say, well, Deagle, if you cause so much trouble, how come they don't kill you? And I said, because if they killed me, you might believe.
Yeah.
And also because one of the words I don't want them to ever use, I'm a brave and I'm willing to die for my people out there, for fellow human beings, whether they like me or not, Americans and non-Americans, just the human race, but I am not nice. I'm the kind of person that is your best friend, I'll die for you, but if you cross me, man, you wish you'd be better off if the devil himself was after you. Which is why they're not going to SWAT team Dr. Deagle. Not if some of those guys don't want to have some armor-piercing weapons or bombs blow them up. And I know how to make lots of what I call lethal and non-lethal technologies, which I can release pretty quickly if I think things are going south, that are far more dangerous than guns. I'll just give a couple of examples so people understand what I'm talking about. I know how to make a particle beam weapon using a linear accelerator tube. You can whip up in a couple of hours in your kitchen. I know how to make a ball bearing accelerator weapon with an air compressor that you get just with making tanks like for your diving. And I know how to make what's called an electromagnetic pulse weapon that can actually drop people to the ground and make them have a seizure up to a mile or more away. And the particle beam weapon uses a welder's flux and a linear accelerator tube, and you can cut a man or a tree or a vehicle in half at a couple miles. So, and by the way, the guy that told me this, because I didn't invent that technology, was a special forces guy that was one of my patients. So you need to understand out there, and those are just the three things that I know right off the bat. The simplest one is the ball-bearing weapon, and you sipe the ball bearings in such a way they fly straight, and they're 10 times harder than any bullet and can travel up to 20 times faster than the high-speed velocity round coming any of any conventional gun. And let me tell you, when you have a high velocity ball bearing coming at you at that velocity, it goes right through a Bearcat tank or anything else like it's butter. So in other words, yeah, government, you need to get a life here. Don't even think about it, taking this on. Don't even think of it.
You know that the Oxitec proposal to release those riddle genes and the mosquitoes down in Florida, it has no significant impact on the environment.
Well, that is a massive lie, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're going to go ahead with it.
Yeah. That's standard operational procedure.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Ann. After the show, we'll do a good recap and expansion on this.
Okay.
Excellent show today. We'll talk to you in about an hour or so.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Dr. Bill.
Thank you, Ann.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32, and improving Vigor Score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.